Welcome to Soundbites, true stories told by local Mainers and nationally recognized storytellers. The themes are always changing and the hosts are from all over the nation, but when you hear the name Soundbites, you're in for a unique storytelling experience. Soundbites is made possible by the generous contributions of Allagash Brewing, Frontier, The Press Hotel, and by the listeners of Maine Public Radio. This story was told live at One Longfellow Square in Portland, where the event's dedicated theme was Turning Point. Here's today's host, Detroit-based storyteller and podcaster, Dame Wilbur.
I was born in Macon, Georgia, because I was born in November. My mother was my grandmother's oldest child, and the only one of her daughters that she knew was going to have a baby. My mother flew to Macon to have me. That gave me dual citizenship. I would live in Detroit during school time and then stay with my grandmother and my grandfather in Macon during the summertime. Now, Detroit and Macon are different places. In every way, you can be a different place. And my mother also decided to add to my strangeness by putting me in a Waldorf school. So if any of you have any knowledge of what a Waldorf or Rudolf Steiner school is, you understand that we just took my weirdness and upped it several notches. Now, my Aunt Julia was on my father's side of the family, and my Aunt Julia had one thing that she did every year, and that was to have everybody over to her house for Thanksgiving. So we lived in a two-family flat. She had the first floor. We had the second floor. You all have triple-deckers here, right? Three, right? Picture that, but just with two, okay? So I don't know why I felt I had to do that. I'm watching the clock. I'm trying to add. Okay, so what, being a Southern woman, she had two kitchens. She had one kitchen in her house and then one kitchen in the basement for when it got too hot. It does get hot in Detroit in the summer, so she would cook downstairs. Now, what I loved about her downstairs basement kitchen was it seemed to be one that she didn't pay attention to a lot. So that was my place for taking pound cake. That was my place for taking buttermilk. That's where I'd start drinking high C punch back when it used to come in cans. Because cans are hard to judge. Like, is it lighter than it was the last time I put it in? Is it heavier? I don't know. I would take the strawberries out of her refrigerator. I was a big kid. Now, being a big kid means you understand the importance of holidays. Now, if you ask a regular kid the best holiday there is, they're going to say Christmas. They're liars. Fat kids will tell you that there's only one real holiday, and that's Thanksgiving. And the reason Thanksgiving is a holiday is because it's the only day that no one's counting your calories. No one's looking at your portion sizes. Everybody's eating too much. If you're a fat kid and you eat a whole turkey on Thanksgiving, nobody even blinks. They're like, well, we did make two turkeys. Now, my Aunt Julia was going to make Thanksgiving dinner, and my mother, who didn't trust my Aunt Julia's cooking, would also make Thanksgiving dinner. So my happy jolly self was looking at 3 to 5 servings of Thanksgiving dinner on that day. And I was planning ahead. So I started eating a little less. I ate more salad, God help me. I was trying to make some room because, you know, my big day was coming up. Now, I'm doing laundry. And I'm running from the second floor down to the basement to switch the laundry over. And I smell something. Doesn't smell quite right. And I can't put my finger on it. And everything that my Aunt Julia cooks smells delicious, so I don't understand what's going on. And I get down in the basement, and I hear the pot on the stove in the downstairs kitchen just going away. And the lid is rattling on the top. I'm like, but that smell that I'm thinking about is coming from that pot. I got to figure out what it is. So I go in the kitchen. I lift the lid up, and a squirrel bobs up to the top of the pot and kind of looks at me like a Muppet. You know, they make the Muppets and like that. Now, he doesn't really look at me because his eyes are kind of not there. And I stifle a scream because I'm from Georgia half the year, and screaming is rude. You don't scream at people's food. So I don't scream, but I slam the lid back down, and as a big kid, run up two flights of stairs, which lets you know how scared I was. Now, I'm in a panic, because my Aunt Julia is also the queen of gravy and sauces, which means that when this thing hits the table, I'm not going to know what it is. I'm never going to be able to identify it on its own. That, and she'd already gotten me the year before because I took off the table what I thought was several slices of jellied canned cranberry sauce bit into the first slice, only to find pickled beets. So she was already on my list. But I'm okay. I don't have to eat Thanksgiving dinner with her. I can talk to people and just sort of keep my plate empty. They're eating so fast they won't even notice. And then I'll come upstairs and have like three of my mother's Thanksgiving dinners. And since I didn't eat downstairs, and she'll notice because she watches everything I eat, she'll let me have a couple extra pieces of sweet potato pie. We'll be fine. My mother comes home Wednesday night before Thanksgiving, throws her purse in a corner, throws her coat in a corner, and says, "I've been working all week, I ain't cooking nothing." Makes herself a Chivas Regal and Coke. Sits down in my daddy's chair. He promptly moved. He was smart enough to get up. And starts staring at the TV. I'm out of Thanksgiving dinners. So I walk up to her and I go, "Mama, please, 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 you gotta make dinner. Your turkey's so good." My mother's turkey was dry. Beyond, "Mama, your turkey is so good. We got you just, oh, you have to have some dressing." Her dressing was like a brick. "Mama, your dressing was so good. We gotta have it. Oh, you just got to cook. You got to cook. If you, oh, please, 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 you gotta make your macaroni." Macaroni and cheese was terrible. "I need some macaroni." Like everything, she doesn't make good food. I'm just begging. Like, please. She said, "I'm not making nothing, and stop asking me." And that's really how my mother ended most conversations. It's Thanksgiving morning. I go downstairs and fold napkins because that's what I do. And it really is my Aunt Julia's way of getting me to participate in the process. And there's just little hints of that smell still hanging in the air. And I'm like, oh my God, this is the first Thanksgiving in my very short life where I'm going to eat nothing. I'm going to waste away. I have never in my life gone for 24 hours without eating anything, and I'm pretty sure I'm not going to make it. I'm going to faint. They're going to take me to the hospital on Thanksgiving. This sucks. So I finish folding the napkins. I go upstairs to get dressed. My parents come downstairs. We all come downstairs dressed. And I am at least looking forward to seeing my cousin Wash. My cousin Wash is legally deaf. So he is teaching me sign language. It will take me years to find out that all the sign language he taught me was dirty words. I have insulted several members of the deaf and hearing impaired community, and I just don't even try sign language now. But anyhow, he and I are sort of talking. And we get to my Aunt Julia says, "Okay, y'all come eat." So we get up to the table, and my cousin Wash points to this pan in the middle of the table. And he says, "Lord, sis, you made squirrel." And everybody says, "Oh, my God, you made squirrel. I ain't had squirrel in so long." And then they start talking about their mama. "Remember when mama used to make squirrel for us? Remember when we didn't have a lot of money, but she was always trying to put something on the table? You know, we ate all kinds of stuff. We ate squirrel, we ate possum, we ate raccoon. But it didn't matter because, you know, she'd make it out of love because she was just trying to feed us and make sure we were okay." And they all start talking about this food that their mother's making. And it dawns on me that my Aunt Julia wasn't just making something weird. She was sort of making a memory. And I didn't get it. Everybody else got it. So she never presented anything. Even the turkey would already be on the table by the time you walked in there. So she goes in the kitchen and comes out with a casserole dish with a lid on it. And she's holding it. And everybody gets quiet because we've never seen her present a piece of food. And she says, "You know, about a month ago, I went to an Italian restaurant and it was so good. I just had to come back and make the recipe myself. And I had to share it with all of y'all. as she put the pan in the middle of the table, snatches the lid off, said, "So I made y'all lasagna." Now I put my hand up, because I know it's pronounced lasagna. My mother looks at me and says, "You're the smartest," and her eyes, straight up, just with her eyes, she says, "You're the smartest person in the room, but nobody gives a damn. Put your hand down." So I put my hand back down. She did it with a look, but I literally dropped that hand. And my Aunt Julia got a couple of things right. She had the right noodles. She did ground beef. I think it was ground beef. She did tomato sauce. She made a couple of changes of her own. She didn't know what ricotta was, so she used cottage cheese. She thought mozzarella cheese was pretty, but it didn't have no taste to it, so she used extra sharp cheddar. Now, when the rest of the family got up to eat, they tore through the barbecued pig's feet. They tore through the squirrel. They tore through the turkey and everything else, but they were avoiding that lasagna like it had poison in it. And I call it lasagna because that's exactly what it is. And no place on earth is that lasagna. But it was the only thing on the table that I knew. I kind of understood where she was coming from. So I got a plate and got a big spoonful of lasagna. And I'm going to tell you, I've eaten some really good food in my life. And that lasagna still is in my top 10 of best things I ever had. But the thing I learned that day was it didn't matter if it was squirrel or turkey or pound cake or lasagna. What my Aunt Julia was trying to do was share something that she loved with people she loved even more. And that's what I think of every Thanksgiving. And every time I see a squirrel. Thank you.
Dame Wilburn is a storyteller, Moth main stage host, and host of her own podcast, Dame's Eclectic Brain. She's completed 2 residencies for storytellers, 1 outside of Atlanta, Georgia, and 1 in Almont, Michigan. Dame is also a poet, painter, and prolific knitter. She lives in Detroit, Michigan with her partner, 4 chickens, a Peg Lake cat, and too many dogs. We're going to learn more about our host here on Soundbites.
What is your connection to Maine?
The very first time I hosted a storytelling show ever was here in Portland at the State Theater.
Fantastic. Thank you. Such a great theater. And what got you into this whole storytelling thing?
When I was a small kid, I would spend my summers in Georgia with my family, and it was always miserably hot inside the house late at night, and the only way to stay cool was to stay outside, and the only way you could stay outside was to get the adults to laugh and pay attention to you. So I basically tried not to sweat to death and wanted to drown myself in sweet tea, so I became funny and interesting.
That's a good motivation. I love it. And what's your process when you're preparing to tell a story on stage?
Really, I just try to nail down the first line and the last line. I learned pretty much a songwriting trick from Paul Simon, who said, if the first line is true, the rest of it will write itself. And I just feel like that's the way story works. That's the way anything works, actually. So that's what I try to do.
That's a really beautiful thought. Kind of thinking back to like birth and the beginning of life. That's a really beautiful way of saying it. So, all right. So I don't know what engaging story or little vignettes you're going to tell us tonight, but is there something you can tell us that sort of a behind the scenes happening or just something intriguing about you that you want to tell us that we're not going to find out about tonight?
I don't know if I placed it anywhere, but I have 4 dogs. All of whom I'm looking forward to seeing, and that'll probably end about 3 minutes after I see them. And then we are also in the city of Detroit, totally illegally raising 4 chickens. So I'm looking forward. I haven't had an egg in 2 weeks because I'm used to having really fresh eggs. So I'm looking forward to going home and scrambling an egg and seeing my chicken, who's named Marcella, because chicken Marcella is funny.
That was perfect. What's the egg yield for these four chickens?
Here's a little piece of chicken trivia that no one cares about, but I know. Chickens actually lay 6 days out of seven. So if you've got four chickens, you're pretty much offering people eggs when they have tea at your house. Like if somebody comes to your house for anything, so can I use your bathroom? Yes. Would you like an egg? You know, you're just there. They kick out a lot of eggs and we are highly unprepared for all the eggs that they're putting out. So I'm making a lot of custards for Christmas and Thanksgiving.
Sounds good. I'm coming to your house. Thank you so much.
Soundbites is made possible by the generous contributions of Allagash Brewing, Frontier, The Press Hotel, and by the listeners of Maine Public Radio. Special thanks also to Toad & Co. More information about Soundbites, including how to attend a live storytelling event, is online at soundbitesme.org. And of course, you can always hear more stories at mainepublic.org.